Universität Hamburg.
So, I did not have a JetBlue experience this morning. I did have an Air Berlin experience this morning, and it was rather peculiar from a communication perspective, because a screw in one of the panels of the plane was loose fitting, and the pilot had to have that fixed first. And from the communication point of view, it was quite interesting because the plane was boarded, and we only got those snippets of information. And the pilot always said, okay, we have an issue here. I don't know how long it will take, but we are working on it. And it's interesting to see how that information caused certain reactions by the passengers. Of course, you're sitting there in the tin box. You don't know what's going to happen. There's uncertainty. And from a communication perspective, people, of course, put out their mobiles and called the office and said, okay, I don't know, I'm sitting here, I don't know what's going to happen. And most of those calls were rather short. And just as information was given, I'm sitting here, I don't know when I will be at an appointment. But that was all that was being needed in order to keep this organization alive and keep the processes alive. And this is one of the points I want to talk about in my presentation, which tries to come up with an idea of a communicative core of institutional theory. In some respects, I will touch upon points that were mentioned earlier by Tim, and I want also address one point that we are kind of tiptoeing around a bit. I want to try to tackle the idea of communication a bit further. And this goes back to our first meeting in Hamburg and the second meeting in Zurich. And the first meeting in Hamburg, we tried to align those different perspectives of CCO and came up with the idea to see if there is a different take to see organizations as communication. And in the second meeting in Zurich, we talked about the institutional theory discussion on the CCO perspective that was already being mentioned in the MCQ, and Simone and myself did a presentation on that. We also kind of dissected the ideas and moved away from that, so this will be another take on that. So the core problem is, what is this communication we are talking about? And I want to tackle that first with an idea taken from Taylor and Van Avery from their new book. And the second part is there a communicative turn in institutional theory, and how can we theorize that? And the third part is how this communicative core of institutional theory can be theorized, but that is very vague and work in progress. So, you mentioned 26 or 27 different traditions of communication. Communication scholars like Craig came up with 7 or 8 paradigms of communication. And I'm always reminded of the book by Morgan about pictures of the organization. But these are basic paradigms that are mutually exclusive, like paradigms are, and the perspective that the CCO scholars take, especially the Montreal School, is the pragmatic one. And Craig only recently added the pragmatic perspective on communication in a follow-up to his 99 paper. I won't go into the details of all these different ideas of communication, and I want to focus exclusively on the pragmatic view of communication. Essentially, this is a philosophical stance. It's not a communication theory per se, but it is a more basic paradigm of how to look at the world. Like most paradigms, or post-positivistic paradigms, it is anti-essentialist. It does not take the things we see, we realize as the thing they are, but as a construction. It is non-dualistic, we talked about it earlier, and it's post-positivistic as a pragmatic view. It is, however, and here it comes together with the CCO perspective, a rather emergent, constitutive idea And it's based around the idea of thirdness. And this idea of thirdness is rather peculiar, and I'm still struggling with the idea because it's basically a philosophical concept that is being used by Taylor and Van Avery to explain to a certain degree what communication is. And they refer to the person on your left side, Charles Sanders Peirce. Yeah, the person on the right side is also important because Sherlock Holmes and Peirce have something in common. Peirce is one of the founding fathers of the American School of Pragmatism, and this is a movement, a philosophical movement that is against functionalistic perspectives and was basically very fundamental in the American development of social theory. It has nothing to do with our idea of pragmatic working, which means we do things with a means to an end. We have an utilitaristic perspective. The idea of Peirce is much more fundamental, and I'm still struggling a little bit with his idea or the interpretation by Taylor and Van Avery. Basically, Peirce says that there's a third model of logical analysis. The models we know are deduction and induction. Deduction goes from the general to the specific, and induction from the specific to the general. Just to keep that very brief, abduction is something in between, and it allows intuitive leaps. That is basically the idea of Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes is neither inductive nor is he deductive, but he makes some associations between certain facts and comes up with a solution. It might be true or might not be true, but it is an idea of reasoning that's behind the idea. The idea to put Peirce and Holmes together is by Umberto Eco, by the way. So it's not by Taylor. What's behind that? Behind that is the idea of the way we look at reality. And the example that Taylor and Van Avery use is your garden. When at the first order of looking at a piece of soil in your backyard, it's just a piece of soil. There's no meaning to it. It's nothing to it. That's the first brute reality that's there. When you start to work on your farm or your garden, then you are acting on the soil. You're putting things in there. You hope that it's growing. But this is just a material relationship. There still is a rather non-meaning to it. The meaning only exists when their thirdness comes in. And the thirdness is knowing how to do gardening. You make certain generalizations, laws, and sense-making that gives this idea between you working in your garden a deeper sense of what you are doing there. And this thirdness affects the way you're looking at your piece of soil and you're doing the things you're doing. It's a rather peculiar concept, and I need to read more on the original ideas of Peirce, which I didn't do now, but I think this is rather useful to tackle the concept of communication. Because as Taylor and Van Avery claim, thirdness is what gives meaning to activities and the context they occur in. So for Taylor and Van Avery, what keeps the organization together is this idea of thirdness, that acting becomes a meaningful practice by relaying something that is beyond the material act or the specific act you're doing. The JetBlue experience is a good example for the thirdness. Nobody knew what a JetBlue experience is, but everybody knew when you experienced one. So this is the thirdness that holds together the organization and what keeps the organization as a sense together. And for Taylor and Van Avery, this is at the core of their idea. It integrates all the activities making up a complex organization by giving them sense. And this basically, what the thirdness makes is communication. It's a concept I'm still struggling with if we can equalize communication with the thirdness, but at least it's a way of getting the idea of communication to a more down-to-earth idea and making it a little bit more concrete. That's the idea I want to pursue here. And when we look at institutional theory, then we see a development that scholars recently claim that institutional theory is a theory of communication. Of course, this is specifically aimed at diffusion. But if you look at the different turns or schools of institutional theory, we clearly see a trend towards more discursive, towards more rhetorical, and towards more, as Schmidt said, discursive points of institutionalism. But what is happening here is they are using all the terms we used before for communication, from the discourse, from the language point of view, from the rhetorical point of view, and added in to explain meaning processes that are happening and that they are at the core of institutional theory. So is there a communicative turn in institutional theory? On the surface, yes, but they're using tools and ideas that are being brought in to explain the meaningful structure that John Mayer and Rowan put at the very forefront of institutional theory. But for me, that's not sufficient. I think these are certain ways of using communicative tools or toolboxes to explain institutional processes. My idea is to use this thirdness to explain organizational field structures. As you know, the organizational field is one of the few original ideas of institutional theory, also influenced by Bourdieu and Giddens, of course. But those fields develop by the interaction and mutual recognition of organizational actors. And recent ideas by Kennedy and others use this idea or move over the organizational actors towards issues. So it's not only the actors that constitute the field, but it's issues. How are those issues being institutionalized or recognized? I think exactly here is the idea of thirdness happening. The thirdness can be transposed probably by media, which allows those issues to be recognized by the actors and constitute the organizational field as a communicative field that's binding those organizations together by the idea that they have a shared reality, they have a shared perspective on a certain part. So, and this is basically the idea I'm working on right now, and the working plan for the paper would be, or goes into a similar idea like Tim presented. I want, first of all, trace the different takes of discursive means, rhetorical ideas, meaning structures in organizational institutionalism, and see if they are similar or if they're really different. How are they used? Are they distinctively different or are they specific? And the idea which I briefly sketched out is, can we hypothesize this idea, this concept of thirdness that constitutes for Taylor and Van Avery the process of organization for institutionalization, for institutional theory? And that's very briefly the point. And I was struck by this quote, and I think it's important to go back to the idea of communication, which makes it very clear that it's much more than a dualistic idea of information exchange. It's performative, it's emerging, it's mediated by language, and I was a bit struck by that term because they threw in everything that makes up the communication. And I think that's one of the key issues we are dealing with when we're dealing with CCO. It pulls in together a lot of different perspectives and takes them as a basis, I think a fruitful basis, to analyze different theories like the institutional theory. Thanks.